Yeah, what's up, everyone? It's my favorite song. welcome to the show, everyone. This is Tom McCaffrey, LE2B. I'm here with Eric B. We have a guest. Before I introduce, please rate and review this podcast. Please give money to the Patreon thing. And buy Silk City Hot Sauce at silkcityhotsauce.com. That's our sponsor. And I have a book coming out in January. Please buy it. It's called Born Funny. Go to Amazon to buy it. So, all right. Enough of that. So we have a guest. He's been on here before, I think, well, years ago. He's a comedian. I think I've known him for about 50 years.
Yep.
Bobby Miyamoto. How are you? He's in LA.
On your book. I didn't know that.
Sorry, that's our studio audience.
Can I, but before we, so when I met you, were you, you were, your name, you had a different last name, right?
No.
It was
I
Rock.
Didn't, I didn't change.
His last name was Rock.
No, you didn't change your last name, but weren't you going by another last name? Or do you want me to cut this out?
Well, I admit, to sign up at open mics, I would say, I would use my first name and last and middle name.
Okay. What was your middle name?
I didn't change my
name. No, I know you didn't change it. I know you but you started when I heard Bobby Miyamoto, I was like, oh, I only knew him by the other.
No, I would say David, just because Miyamoto would always get
Oh, Bobby David. That's what it was.
All right. I would always get killed. So I would just do it in the open mics and stuff, you know, how you sign your name and stuff and what you're going to do. I would do it that way. I didn't change my name. It's been Robert David Miyamoto ever since I was born.
Right. Okay. So I met you in around 2000 in LA, and I just moved to LA, and I guess we were both kind of just getting started, and there was just remember it was kind of weird, those shows we would do. They were kind of shitty, and there were a lot of weirdos, so you'd kind of gravitate to the not weird people. Ari was there. It was Ari was right, you know. Full Sharon was there.
Yeah. It was I don't know.
What's your memory of those days? Do you have were they fond or not?
I don't think
or nothing.
I don't think when I look back at my life, those are going to want to be what I'm gravitate toward.
Right.
Bunch of open mics with weirdos. That's where
I always hear people about they want to get into comedy and stuff, but you really have to struggle at those first couple of years and really eat shit. And I don't know if you have a great life that you really want to do that, you know?
Do you think I think it's different now, though. Do you think people even have to do, what is the process anymore?
They do. Trust me. They do. They still do the open mics. It's just
they
not.
They do. I feel like they'd be worse now, though, almost.
I mean, I've seen some of them recently, you know, and it's rough, you know.
Maybe they're not worse. I felt like then you had no choice but to do that. Like anyone who wanted to do it to start out, that's you had to do that, no matter how bad or good you were. So now I feel like I don't know. I went to an open mic 4 years ago randomly. Someone told me to go to it. They were going to it, and I went to meet them there, and it was like a nightmare. And I was like, how did I ever do this ever?
Just depends on the open mic, really. But you know, now people can do so many more things. You know, they bark, which they always were able to do, or the move now is people just start their own shows, especially in New York
That's
City.
That's the best move. Yeah. The worst is if you have to stick around all night. Mm-hmm. You know, an open mic's not bad if you just can go up and leave and get it done under an hour's. But to stick around someplace for 3 hours to do 3 minutes is rough.
Yeah, no, I remember doing, and then there was a thing they would do where they would have music and comedy.
Yeah,
and some of the, you know, like I did a few. I did one specifically where it was mainly a music open mic, and there were three comedians throughout the night. But it was mainly and music. They'd be like, you get two songs if you're a musician, and if you're a comedian, you get 4 minutes. And people were doing these like 10 minute songs, you know, like, and I, you know, I was like, dude, there's no way this is one song this guy's doing. He's just not stopping. You know, it's like, and I, so the joke was, I'd be like, the, this next song is called My First Album.
But you know, sometimes the music open mics weren't bad because musicians actually will laugh at comedians. Comedians won't laugh at other comedians, but musicians, there's no competition there. So I've done some of those, and the musicians, they've been good audience members.
Well, I would tell people that do bringer shows a lot, I would say do open mic over bringer shows, because the bringer shows you have to do, or you don't want to burn those people out on a bringer show.
It happens after about 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your friends get really over the novelty of you doing comedy fast. I remember, yeah, that early on, the first few shows, people were like, oh, this is great. And then like 3 months would go by and they'd be like, hey, can you come to the show? And they'd be like, you're still doing that? Like, yeah, it was funny the first time. I'm not like going to keep going.
I talked to some comic the other day. He said one of his first bringer shows, he brought 70 people. I'm like, dude, you fucking shot your wad on that one. You have to parse them out a little bit, you know?
Oh, five at a time. People, Jesus.
How much time did they give him? An hour and a half?
You should just start a podcast. That's about so all right. This is a thing. Bobby, you're in LA, but I'm sure you've done Caroline's, the famous comedy club.
I did it. I did one of those few famous times, ones. Yeah.
Did you what was your, how many years was it open? Like 40, 50 years?
40, they said, yeah.
It's closing.
Used to be at the Seaport back in the day.
It yeah, was? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it started, and I'm really torn up about it closing. It's one of those things, like, I'm like, yeah, I don't really give a shit. That's fine. I did it a bunch of times, but what was your, like, how many times do you think you did it, Bobby? Did you do it where, like, you did, like, a spot during the week, or were you, like, opening for someone?
No, I never opened. I just did sets here, and I probably under 10 times.
Did you ever do it? Like, not did, I mean, for people, so you like, well, you know, opened for David Spade a lot. Did he ever do it? And then you opened, or no, that never happened?
No, I think I just did. I did some random shows there.
Was it good? Because I feel like I did it a lot where it was kind of like not that packed.
It was never packed. And it's not surprising to hear it close, because if you have a space like that in New York City, the overhead, I don't know the rent and stuff, but just you figure the overhead of that place has got to be astronomical.
No,
especially like, where it is.
Yeah. I knew people who worked there, and they were like, you know, most places, if you get 50 people in there, it's a good night. But if they got 50, they would lose money. They would lose money. So they weren't open a lot of nights because they knew they couldn't. And plus, if you did that room and there were 50 people, it was incredibly hard because it fits 300 people. So 50 people felt like five, you know, and you're like, you're just like bombing up there. And you're like, yeah, I could see why it feels like an empty room.
The people that can fill that room are, they probably are doing theaters and not doing Caroline's.
That's what I was going to say. I feel like if you're big enough to be doing it, you're probably too big for it. But
yeah, like guys like Tracy Morgan and Marlon Wayans. I think you opened for him, right?
I did a show, and I opened for him. I mean, I went on before him. I mean, I was Marlon Wayans. This was like, I think that was the last time I did it. It was like 3 years ago, And I went to high school with him. So like I saw him randomly, like a friend of mine's party, and it was like 6 o'clock on a Sunday. And he was like, hey, man, you know, he's like, oh, you still doing stand up? I'm like, yeah. And he's like, hey, man, yeah, you want to like do some time before me? And I'm like, all right. And it was like an hour and a half before. And it was pretty good. It was packed. It was funny because like Tiffany Haddish was there, and she went on, and he's like one of those guys, you know, he started comedy late, stand-up comedy, but he's good, you know?
Yeah, and I heard he's very nice with that. He hooks up a lot of comics. He'll throw them on and stuff like that. So other people have told me stories about him.
And I did do a joke up front. I was like, because, you know, they all were there to see Marlon Wayans, and they're just like, here's some white guy, you know, and I'm like, hey guys. And I was like, well, I'm only on this show
because some white guy.
No, but I said that. I was like, oh yeah, before Marlon comes out, it's just some white guy you don't know is coming on. And then I said, I'm only here because I wrote White Chicks. And I never saw it, but I read the book. That was like one of my openers. But I thought it was clear that it was a joke. But afterwards, people kept coming up to me and asking me. They were like, you wrote White Chicks? I was like, sure, yeah, why not? But yeah, anyway, that was my last time there. It was, it was a cool place, but it wasn't like, I don't know, like, it didn't like change my life or anything. Did you have like
I think that wasn't the hey, when was the heyday of Caroline's? It was before us, right?
I mean, yeah. 80s, I'd say. Yeah. Didn't they used to like film a show there?
Yeah, from, like 80s and 90s.
Yeah,
but
I think they did.
But when you were like, before you even did comedy, when you were young growing up, like where did you grow up, Bobby? Did you grow up in Arizona?
Boise, Idaho.
Oh, okay. Did you know it? Like it was kind of a known place, right?
No,
have you heard of it?
I had heard. I mean, I wouldn't have known it in Boise, Idaho, or even Arizona, where I went to school. But I definitely remember Caroline's. I remember I had a manager, and he got me up there. I was like, "Oh wow!" I was like, "I know Carol." I think what was it? Caroline's Comedy Hour or something
yeah,
like that.
That's what it was.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah, in the '80s.
Yeah, I think I probably would have known about that. So I knew it was legendary. I would imagine that there was someone named Caroline too.
Yeah, she owns the place.
I don't know that story. Does she still own it?
Yeah, Caroline Hirsch is her name. And, she's, I think for years that place wasn't making a ton of money, but she had a lot of money. So they kind of kept it afloat. But I think when they jacked up the rent, they were like, fuck this.
I mean, how much could it cost? Like $1 million an hour to keep? I mean, it's like insane. The rents here now.
Well, the one thing is the weekends, they would sell out on those weekends when they have those big headliners, but they would have to pay those headliners a lot of fucking money. They would get, I guess, all the door or whatever. And, they would make like $100,000 over the weekend.
I think they would because, remember Comics when that it was open to like 2011. I remember one of the headliners I opened for Brad Garrett. Is that the guy from
Raymond?
Loves Raymond. He's like a fairly known comedian, but whatever. He said that I think he was doing three nights, he got $60,000. Which is insane. And he wasn't like selling the place out. You know what I mean? It wasn't. So, I mean, that's crazy. So I would just imagine that. Yeah. It would be probably more Caroline's.
Well, Comics, I don't know if you remember that place, Bobby. That place was really nice.
I remember it.
Yeah.
Did you do it?
Yeah. I did that, yeah.
But their business model was all wrong. They were like downtown. And I remember talking to someone who worked there once. And they're like, our business model is we're going to get to all the club kids who party at the meatpacking district. And they're going to come to the shows. I'm like, wait, the kids that are rolling on Molly to 3 a.m. you think they're coming to this fucking place? Are you out of your mind? The only way you can fill a place is you got to get the tourists. And they didn't go to that area at that point.
Right. Like you need comedy once you're on Molly.
But I think during COVID, wasn't there something where you didn't have to pay rent? I mean, like if you owned a business, places weren't paying like not individuals, but businesses.
There was something like that. Yeah. But not for that long. I don't know how that.
Well,
how anything stayed open.
Well, they all got those PPP loans. And then there was one club, which I will not mention, was outed by somebody who I guess has a. You know, that guy that's I can say his name, that's Seth Simmons, the one who went after like he just goes after. Yeah. So I guess he just fucking hates comedy or whatever, but he went after a certain club and I guess all the records, the PPP records are public record. And when you get the PPP loans, you're supposed to pay all these employees. That's to keep them. And he saw that there was only one employee listed on the fucking thing. It was like the owner. So the owner got like
and
a couple
was in New York.
Yeah. And he got a couple $100,000 and, it seems like he just sat on it, but I don't know.
I think that happened with a lot of businesses.
Yeah,
during COVID. Yeah.
Were you so? What is it like in LA now? Is it because I keep hearing like mixed things? People are like, "Oh, it's fine. It's it's overblown with people are saying, then some people are like, oh, it's apocalyptic. It's just insane. There's just
the actual, people. The city or the comedy scene?
Well, the city just first.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that there's crime. I mean, you'd have to be delusional to say that there isn't.
But more and, worse than it was.
Yeah. You walk down. I used to walk in the mornings, and I have Bose headsets, you know, and yeah. I would just listen to music or podcasts or whatever. I don't wear them anymore because you have to aware
really?
Of your surroundings. It's kind of like New York in that way. Like if you not so much in the city, but if you went out to one of the boroughs where, you know, you're not in an area, you know, you're probably you just have to kind of watch yourself a little bit. But people are getting mugged. I mean, Hollywood at night. I've done a couple shows like over on like Cahuenga and like in that part of Hollywood and like Cahuenga and
Crenshaw.
I don't know, Sunset maybe. Yeah, and it's not a good neighbor. And you hear
like what you could just tell
getting,
there's like sketchy people on the street or something. Or
yeah.
I don't know if you heard I heard this story that for years you cops in LA would give you tickets for jaywalking and they changed it. Like they're not going to go after people for that anymore. I think it's probably because the cops should be doing other things right now in LA instead of arresting people for jaywalking. So they're not like,
I never got a jaywalking. You just notice it. I mean, to say that there's not crime, more crime is delusional.
Yeah.
I got a ticket at LA once just for walking on the street. They're like, what are you doing?
You got a walking ticket?
You're not supposed to walk.
But I also say, I think crime is really bad and worse everywhere. But I do say this, that, you know, that Citizen app, are you familiar with that app?
Yeah, yeah.
That is where you report crimes and stuff. And because of apps like that, things are bad, but the perception is way worse because you get these texts all the time and emails like, oh, someone was killed, someone was murdered. You really, when you look at these apps, you feel like someone's getting murdered every 30 seconds, you know, in New York City.
And it's always like right down the block.
Yeah.
Also, I wonder if criminals, it almost seems like an app that just would be helpful to criminals to have. Like, oh man, there's a sexual assault going on down the street. All right.
But I don't, you know, they have security guards at like department stores or like a Marshall's or something.
Yeah.
But I don't know what's the point of that because I don't think that they do anything.
No, and they put everything now. And if you go to stores now, everything's under lock and key, like toothpaste, because those are the things that people are just shoplifting and they're just.
Yeah,
you know,
what is that? When did that become a thing?
After the pandemic.
And the other thing is like Advil is under lock and key. When did that become the most. What would you say?
Deodorant.
What a weird. I guess because it's just so easy to shoplift.
Yeah, but I think the people who are stealing deodorant, you should let them have that for free because they probably need it the most. I would imagine.
Right.
Now, in New York, do they charge for a plastic bag?
Yes.
Like if you want groceries, they do.
Yeah.
So I always go to whenever I go to the grocery store, and you know it's a self checkout and stuff. I'm always like. Trying to let them know that I'm not trying to steal anything. Like if I see them watching me, and then I was once gonna, I was like, hey, I paid for this bag. Can I get a bag? And the guy was like, trust me, 10 cents is not what we're worried about. they're happy. They're happy if you're only taking 10 cents.
That's right. That's like my big scam hack is not, you know, hitting the option to pay for a bag. Like,
oh, yeah,
like
I always
how
press
many
zero.
Bags? And I'm like, zero. Too bad, pal.
Yeah, you feel like you really got one over with the man. You know?
See? The other thing that's so funny is whenever the things are under lock and key, there's never anyone around there who works there.
It's the worst.
So I had that the other day and I was like, I think I was at Target and like I needed to get, I don't know what I had to get, but it was something that didn't need to be like locked. And I went and like found, you know, I found someone and they have like the uniform on. And they're like, oh, I'm on break. You know? And I'm like, well, then take your fucking shirt off and stop walking or like go outside somewhere. And then the other guy's like, oh yeah, I'm ringing stuff up, I'm busy, you know, and I'm the only one who has the key, you know, and I go, I was just so pissed. I was like, you guys don't have more than one key here, like at the place. And he's like, no. And I'm like, you guys should make a copy of that key. And he was like, yeah, no, it's really hard or something. And I was like, I know, I'm just being a dick. But it's really weird. It's hard to buy things. And then have you noticed, I guess, because of the pandemic, like the people that will take these jobs are just awful. I guess they're desperate. Who can they get to work there?
I read an article now that some of these jobs, they're not even interviewing you. You walk in there and they just give you the job.
And how much do they pay for that?
Dude, like I've seen like, you know, signs for jobs, and the hourly rate is not much less than the rates I'm getting. And I'm a fucking lawyer. Like, I mean, it's just like, but it, you know, it's not, it's less, but it's not for, it's, it should be way less for them doing nothing. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, but you know, the minimum wage is like 15, I guess, now. And look, in New York City, it sounds like a lot, but it's not. It's not, you know, to live in New York City.
No, not in New York. Where would you even live on $15 an hour in New York?
I have no idea. So like, you said you just moved, right, Bobby?
Yeah.
I moved. Yeah.
Can you say where you moved?
Toluca Lake. Do you know where Universal City is?
Yeah.
It's right by there.
Isn't that nice?
It's nice, yeah. No, I wanted to move to a dump. You mean you didn't move to a dump?
Well, I mean, sometimes people move to dumps and they don't want to live there. You know, I mean, it's not unheard.
Is it one of those like complex? I always think of LA, like an apartment complex with like a pool.
I moved. There is a complex, and you know, there's a front gate, and they only give, depending on how many people live in your unit, they only give a certain amount of gate keys. So they gave me one. And I was like, well, I want one because I go running sometimes and I don't like to take the key off of it.
Yeah.
So it says do not duplicate on it. And I go, can I just get it? He goes, no, we only give out one. And they won't give you the code either to get in. You have to use the key because they don't want the code because people steal from the mailboxes. So I went to like some mailbox, et cetera, place. And I was like, can I just get a duplicate key? And he's like, $40. Yeah. He's like, you have to give me $40. I'm not allowed to do this. But if you give me $40, I was like, all right. And he said,
that's funny.
He said, but you can't tell anyone where you got it. I'm like, I got it. He goes, if you tell anyone where you got it, we never do business again. I'm like,
if you tell anyone where you got it, $50.
I just need a key, not a gun. With
like you fucking care. Like we're like you're going around blabbing. Like I got this great hookup.
Yeah, you got to scrape off the number. And they scrape it off the gun, the serial number, so that they can't trace it. It seems like from what Tom is saying, from what you're saying, there seems to be some sort of key shortage in this country, where they're not making enough keys.
I have no. It's apparently Target. They're not allowed to have keys. I don't know, to open the things for deodorant.
If you're a key maker, you know how many keys you have to make a day just to stay ahead.
Yeah,
those guys aren't
a million.
I moved. So,
What was it like? Was it hard? Because before we started, you were saying you knew all my moving jokes.
Yeah.
During COVID, I moved during COVID, and I used a moving company. And the first thing is they said, if you use this, if you move four times, the fifth move is free. I'm like, when?
Wow.
If I move five times, I'm fucked.
Yeah. I mean, this is only good for someone who's like in witness protection, basically.
Well, I don't know that, dude. Moving is so, I think people underestimate how stressful moving is.
It's the worst.
It's really hard, right? So many ways, like physically, financially, mentally, right? Isn't it? It's just mentally, it's stressful.
It's stuff you don't like. I was going to put a bunch of stuff in storage, and it was the storages were like $300 a month. I was like doing the math, and I was like, I might as well just put my shit out on the sidewalk and walk away rather than have it put somewhere for 6 months because that's $1,800. I'm like clothes and stuff. I don't need that. And so I moved, and when I was moving, it's supposed to be, it's two. First of all, I want to see here at New York City, but it was two guys. So I thought it was going to be a simple move. And literally they started like glaring at me. I'm like, what's going on here? And one of the guys goes, well, if you help, we could get this done a lot faster. I'm like, I don't think that's how it works.
Okay. Yeah. Imagine you did that with just every job.
Yeah. Like a surgeon.
Well, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Good, I'm going to do that when I do comedy next time. Look, come on. You guys need to do something to get up here and have some jokes too.
Imagine a surgeon doing that. You're like, yeah, could you just close up this this hole?
Why don't you just close up on your own when you get home faster? That's fucking crazy. That's another thing about movie. It's like sketchy. You're just calling dudes you don't know who are probably strong and just coming in and taking your stuff.
Yeah.
And you're like, hopefully he's going to go to the other place with my stuff.
It's just for them. It's stressful for me, but it's stressful. Imagine you have to find a place to park. You've got to deal with all these strange elevators. It's like, I don't know how people move in New York City. I guess I moved a couple times when I was there, but it was never like I didn't have a bunch of stuff.
What do you mean?
Especially in New York, though, you just throw shit out. You're like, it's just cheaper to just throw it out and just buy it again because most stuff isn't that expensive, really. You know, even if it's like a TV, like a new TV is a few hundred dollars, whatever. Fuck it.
Got rid of my dog. I was like, it's just cheaper just throw them out.
But it's got to be expensive, right, in New York? Because those guys have to they have to park on the street where they're just getting honked at all day long.
Well, one of the things they do is this is how you help them in New York. There's one thing they go, hey, listen, can you just wait by the truck so I don't get a ticket? And I'll do that because they will. And then the ticket could be so much money that they barely make any money on the move. So you almost have to sometimes wait by their car. I've done that. Or their moving van.
I also used to have, I used to have friends ask me to move all the time. That's a real friend flex.
It's the worst. The worst.
It is. And it's funny too, it's a real kind of LA story where like I had a lot of friends, and I lived in LA who like were in showbiz and some were kind of successful and like knew famous people and stuff, would be good friends with like famous people. And they'd always be like hanging out with like, Joaquin Phoenix or all these people. But I noticed whenever they moved, Joaquin Phoenix was never there helping. It was just it was like the B team friends. Like I could tell where I stood. Like, where's Ben Affleck? I guess he's not coming to help you move. I thought you guys were best friends. No, this is why I keep you around. I don't know. I don't think I've ever hired. I've never had a huge move where I've had to move so many things, but I think that's why I've like never left. I feel like whenever I move somewhere, it's just like I took like four suitcases and then just bought like a new TV or something, right?
But what about a bed? What would you just buy a whole?
I think
bed?
I would just buy a bed.
It's easier, Have it deliver.
It would make more sense just to buy a bed. That's what I was thinking when I moved.
Every time I move, though, I always hire some cheap guys and who are unlicensed and stuff like that. And people always go, well, you should get licensed guys because, what if they break your stuff? I'm like, I don't care if they break my stuff. There's nothing. I don't have Fabergé eggs in my house. You know what I mean? They break a couple of fucking sofa cushions. I'm fine with that.
Right, that's why even when I see people with like these enormous beds and like the wooden like planks that go up on the corners, I always look at those things. I'm like, that's got to be a nightmare to move.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
any kind of stuff like that. I don't like anything there's a chance you could move. I wouldn't want that unless I was in a house and I knew I was going to be there for 30 years.
Yeah. And during COVID, when everyone split New York City, you would walk around the streets. There was so much nice furniture thrown on the street. It was ridiculous. It was like brand new front. People would move to New York City.
Would you take something like that? And would you be worried about bed bugs, though?
I wouldn't take any bed stuff, but there's a lot of like cabinets and things like that. They were like really nice things.
I don't think I ever did take anything off the street because I always was kind of like, I don't like, I'm sure it was fine, but
like sofas and beds, that, but the other stuff, less of an issue with that. So
I usually get my hair brushes from the street.
Did you, Tom, you go to a lot of moving parties?
Yes, it's just like, Comics Unleashed.
So Tom, what do you think about airline food?
So Tom, I understand you've been moving. Oh yeah, man, I'm moving. It's crazy. I didn't have a lot of moving jokes. It was just like, but I do remember that people would do that. They would say if they're having a moving party, and it was just
yeah, it's a trick.
You help them move stuff, and they just give you like pizza and like I'm like, oh, this is a party. And then I was like, I'm going to do that. You know, like I'm having a retile my bathroom party.
And then, retile my bathroom.
What was it like? You're not going to miss my drive me to the airport New Year's bash. The other thing too, you know how people are always like, the other moving one I had is like, have you ever heard this phrase? It's like a weird phrase. I heard someone say it the other day. I hadn't heard it in a while. When they're trying to like convey how close they are with someone, they're like, oh, I would step in front of a bus for that guy.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard that?
Yeah.
Which is such a weird, like, why would that ever be needed in a scenario? Like people are like, hey, what's up, man? Yeah. Hey, it's Tom. I need you to step in front of a bus for me. But then I was like, they always say things that they'll never have to do. You know, no one's ever going to be like, oh, I would help that guy move into his new apartment. But
what's that joke you do about the dog eat dog?
I have an
let's just do all my jokes. go ahead, Bob. I'm sorry. What?
Sorry. Go ahead.
No, I have the best excuse now that I don't have to help anyone move because I had a stroke.
So when does that get you out of like everything now?
Yeah, dude, I'm not going to honestly, I wouldn't help someone move. I don't need that kind of stress.
But I mean, can you get out of just jury duty or like anything?
It gets me out of a lot of stuff, but a lot of stuff it's legitimate, you know, but
can we talk about the way when did that happen? Do you mind talking about it?
No, but that's the thing is I forget if it's not, if I don't say what's in my head, it does, like I can't go back to something still.
Okay.
But yeah, you can talk about it. I mean,
well, how long ago did it happen?
2018.
And you feel like you're mostly recovered or you still have issues?
Speech wise. No.
Right.
I feel like physically, sometimes my knee gets, my right side can tighten up. But from what I see at physical therapy, what I've seen like at speech therapy, I'll take what I have. But physically, I think I'm close. But speaking, like articulating, that's tough.
Really? Because it's, I mean, you do sound the same.
Well, if you ask me to recap something, it would be all over that place. It's not
well I mean that's I feel like I have that.
Do you?
I feel like I do notice older. I feel like in the last couple of years I've noticed, like, not all the time, but I will have moments where like my brain is really tired and like,
yes,
like at night or something, I just am like, it's hard for me to, you know, like I'm dating someone and it's hard because I'll be at home with them and, you know, I'm usually pretty funny and like talkative, and then all of a sudden I just won't be saying anything. And it's just because like I can't.
It's called depression.
I think it is sort of, it's just kind of like a lethargy that comes. I think comedians are prone to that because you're always kind of like entertaining people and then you just kind of like decompressing. So it is kind of, but I do feel like I have a hard time articulating things. At certain moments that it's not easy for me to, like in my mind, I'm like, I don't even know how to say this. What?
You ever just start talking and have no idea what you were going to talk, what you were saying and where?
In the middle of talking?
Yeah.
I have had that. I mean, I don't know if it's that often, but I do. Yeah, I've had that a lot. like where I'm just like, what's going on? Well, or I just get bored of it.
Yeah. Well, and the question of the stroke thing, because I don't, were you following that guy, Bobby, the one who ran for Senate in Pennsylvania, Fetterman?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, you know, he had a stroke and, you know, the people, and then he had a debate. And during the debate, he had to have like closed captions so he could understand. He had to read what the people were saying. Was that an issue for you like early on? Like,
Well, my problem is I can't read. I mean, it takes me longer to read, but I would listen to him. I didn't follow him closely, but when at first I heard about the stroke, I watched him. I didn't notice anything I was like, okay. But then when I saw the debate, I was like, oh, he's a mess. I mean, I was like, he seemed okay to me. I think, but when they were asking the questions, it was almost like that got progressively bad all of a sudden. You know what I'm saying? Because he seemed fun they always tell you every stroke is different, like a neurologist. So what happened to him isn't what happened to me. Like, we didn't have the thoughts don't change. And I don't know. It's hard for me to look at him and say, oh yeah, this is what's happening, because they're so different, you know? But just as I was watching at first, I was like, okay, he had a stroke. And he seemed like I was like, I know I couldn't do public speaking how he was doing it when he first. And then I saw that debate. I was like, oh, geez.
Wait, so how did it affect your stand-up, especially at first?
I would just start talking. I'd be like, what has this been? I really had to go over my notes. Even still, I really have to go over my notes. It's like sometimes if you have a new bit, you're like, I don't know if this is anything. I'll just kind of talk it out on stage. And then if it's nothing, I'll just go into something else. I can't do that because I'll just be sitting there like,
So that must have been scary. Did it make stand-up scarier?
You almost feel like you're a new comic again in a way, right?
No, I just, I don't know how it affected. I slowed down probably, but I don't know.
That's probably not bad though.
It's a good
I feel like
question.
Comedians, a lot of comedians should slow down. I think that's a big problem, especially with new comedians, is going too fast, right? I'm not even kidding.
I see comics that go fast and are killing, and I'm like, what are they laughing at stuff now or from two lines ago? It's happening so fast that I don't even know what I'm supposed to be laughing at.
Yeah, a lot of it is like rhythm. You know, some people are really, when they're fast, they have a good rhythm. So I almost feel sometimes the joke, people are just laughing at the rhythm, you know?
Yeah.
You know, they know how to say a joke and you kind of hear where the punchline should be. And it's just like just this constant thing, but it's, you know, it's really hard to go fast and be clear. I always think.
Yeah. I mean, I prefer comedians who a lot of times go slow.
The problem
sometimes
is
comedians would go like, remember Greg Giraldo? I mean, Greg Giraldo, was really funny, but sometimes he was funny, but he went so fast. Like there were times where I was like, Jesus, man, like I need like a minute here.
The problem is, and because I did a show last night, is some of these audiences, if you go too slow and there's some heckler types in there, they'll fucking start jumping in between your jokes, you know, stepping on punchlines or creating their own punchlines.
That is a big thing.
Yeah. So when I see the show is bad, I actually have to go fast because I'm like, if I go slow, they're going to tear me apart.
It's definitely, but has it gotten better slowly, or has it stayed the same in terms of like on stage?
I know what you're saying about your brain late at night. Like when I was younger, you know how you used to just see old people sit there and stare? Mm-hmm. I understand it now. There'd be sometimes if I'm on a plane or something, I would sometimes I'm like, you know what, I'll just sit here for an hour rather than put my headphones on or read or do anything. I'll just sit there and stare.
You can do that?
I can do it now. I don't know for an hour, but I would say, you know what, I'm landing in 20 minutes, I'll just stare for a little while.
Well, I think, you know, that's one thing, you know, you would see that a lot Yeah, like old people just kind of stare. And a lot of times they would have an expression of like almost confusion of like almost like, how did this happen or something? And I understand it getting older because, you know, you looked at someone old and you're like, oh, they've kind of like gone through this process and, you know, they've processed it and they've come out the other end. But no, now that I'm older, I'm just getting old. Just something just happens to you and you're just like, you just wake up and you're like, what the fuck? Like,
yeah,
how did this happen? Like, so I think when you're really old, you're just like, wait a minute, what? Because I still remember things from 30 years ago that don't seem like 30 years ago.
Yes, yeah, of course.
So that's, so now I get it. Someone who's like 80, when they're looking at something from 50, 60 years ago, that's like just happened to them. And they're just like, wait a minute, what? This is bull. I don't fucking like this shit. It's a weird thing to realize that aging is just happening and you can't really do anything.
That's depressing.
I always look. Go ahead. Sorry, Eric.
No, go ahead. Yeah.
I was like, you know that guy. You remember he's a comic, Russ Meneve.
Yeah.
He used to have this funny joke where he goes, "When you're young, you're like, I can't believe anyone would commit suicide. How could anyone commit suicide?" And then you get older, you're like, "Oh, I get it."
Yeah. Well. I think that's a thing too, is like, you know, you want to live forever young, but then you get older and you're like, the one thing I'm running into now is like, I'm in more pain just from nothing, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like,
I'm not in pain.
You're not physically?
No, but I look at my,
you're
thing
in good
now
shape.
Is I look at older people sometimes and I'm like, it must be weird for them in their head to think, oh yeah, I used to just be able to cruise around the subway, run all around. I used to be getting drunk all the time and now they're just sitting there. I'm like, what is that like? Because I can still move, but it's got to be weird for older people when you're like, they used to just run this town and now they're just, they can't even move. And I always think psychologically, what is that like?
I think I will say that, you know, I'm in good shape too. And I'm like still physically active and I can do things, but I do think what starts to happen, it's slowly happened to me, is like you move, hopefully you'll move into different parts of your life where you're like, oh, those things I did years ago, I just don't want to do them anymore. Like the whole thing of like drinking and going out to bars and stuff, like that, I don't miss that at all. And I remember there was a time where that's all I did. And it was like, and now that I'm looking back on it, I'm like, I don't really think I liked that, you know? So like, I think it you get more like older me just sitting around staring.
Yeah.
Which is not what I do all the time, but like I kind of don't mind it as much. And I do think what happens is when you get older, you'll get more okay with not being able to do as much. And it's almost kind of like, you know, not, I've said this to people before, and I don't mean it to be like ominous and this horrible thing, but like, you get older and you're kind of like dying almost seems like not a terrible thing. You know what I mean?
Jesus Christ.
You know what I mean? No, but you know what I mean? It seems like, oh, one day I'm going to be dead and like I won't have to like worry about any of this anyway. It's just a natural thing, you know? Like
that goes back to you can't do the things that you used to do. At a certain point, you're like, well, I don't know if I want to do the things that I can do now. That's all I can do.
Right. And then you start realizing a lot of life is just hustling and you have to get this. So it's kind of like you're going to be done at some point. That's why it's like it almost the afterlife now, like people are like, I hope there's an afterlife. And I'm like, I guess so. But I hope the afterlife isn't like just more shit I have to do.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
I hope there's like a little bit of time between you have to start the afterlife.
Yeah, imagine you go to the afterlife and it's one big open mic. You got to start over again. In your comedy
career. I mean, I'm scared of getting there. It's just kind of like some huge room and everyone's waiting in line for a number. And almost, I'm not going to know where to go. You know, it's just kind of like, I just don't want it to be stressful.
What if you're one of those people that is going to get stuck here in the same house, haunting the same house?
yeah, that's...
Well, you live in an apartment. Do people haunt apartments? They only seem to haunt houses.
I don't know if they... I think they do haunt... I'm not that up to date. But you would think a whole... Can you haunt a whole complex or do you just haunt one specific apartment?
Well, how do you end up doing that? I feel like those are people who just haven't moved on. Like they're the people I'm talking about who can't deal with, get, you know, things moving on and letting go of things. So I don't think I will have the energy to stick around and haunt people's houses.
If I see the light, I'm gone.
Yeah, I don't want to, like, what do I need to do to, that's people literally just can't let go of something, like, that you need to fuck up someone's house or something. I don't know. It's just like, I just want to go sleep or something. Yeah.
I live in a studio. I wouldn't want to haunt, you know, not enough room for me. I got to haunt someone now. I got to share this apartment with someone. Fuck that.
It just sounds like a lot of energy. I don't know what. The other thing now that I'm older too, I mean, the dying thing is closer and you really start having thoughts of like, oh shit, like this is definitely going to happen. Like I think of dying now, like
and
I'm
you just
closer.
You think I just want it to be quick. I don't want to be like trapped. I just want it to be quick.
This is one of more of our uplifting episodes.
Yeah, that's where we are right now. Yeah, it's like when you're young, you're like, I don't want to die now. I'm like, I just hope it's quick. it's really an amazing thing because it's there all the time. How are people not freaking out and crying all the time? I mean, like, it's a terrifying thing that we all have to deal with, but I guess we're just in denial. There's a new movie called White Noise. Have you heard of that movie? It just came out.
I've heard of it. I haven't seen it.
It's kind of about that. It's kind of the characters are afraid of dying, and I don't know. It's weird because I know people have died, you know, and I knew them well, and I'm just like, I wonder. I wish I could talk to them. Be like, so what was it like?
I saw this other movie that made me think about death recently. It was called Bullet Train. It was just a horrible movie. I just wanted to off myself.
I saw It's Not Worth Watching. I saw it on Netflix. Is it on Netflix or something?
I think it's just going on Netflix, yeah.
You know how they CGI now? They'll put in extra CGI into movies that were already out, you know, to like kind of spice up the movie.
Yeah.
Like I heard they're doing that with Bullet Train. They're CGIing in a better movie.
Okay. You know what? I just put it on my list to watch, so now I'm not going to watch it on Netflix.
I haven't seen
but you have, like, I know I'm going to get dementia because I've already deteriorated and I feel like my brain, I can feel the deterioration, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm still strong enough where when I feel myself I don't know if dementia is a verb, but when I feel like that's starting to happen to me, I can cover myself a little bit and try to get my way out of it so people don't always know. That's why people always say you don't seem like you've had a stroke, but I'm pretty good at like maneuvering it to smoothing it over so that people aren't like, oh, this guy's got a problem.
Yeah.
But then there are some people that get dementia. They don't give a fuck. Mm. They're just like, they won't hide it at all.
Yeah.
And you're like, maybe everyone gets it. And some people are just better at hiding it than others, you know, because some people like Tom was saying, you don't care after a while. I think there's some people that don't care that what they're saying is not making sense and they don't mind people seeing them struggle to say does that make sense?
Like Joe Biden.
So, yeah. That's what I was going to say. And Biden's a weird one because first of all, he stuttered his whole life. So when he stutters now, you're not sure what that's about. Is it from the dementia I don't think he has dementia, but he's definitely slowed down. However, if you look at him too, sometimes I watch him and he's running around and giving speech. I'm like, he's fucking 80 years old. How the hell is he? I don't understand how you do that.
And I do. And I have felt that too. Like even now I'll be talking to my girlfriend and I had that moment the other day where like she was telling me about someone and then I was like, oh really? And then she said something else like a second later. I go, who? And she was like, the person I just said. And I'm like, and I was like, oh yeah. And I really didn't. And I remember I had a moment. I was like, I really forgot that in like one second. Maybe I just wasn't listening, but I don't know what it is. I think it's just,
by the way, like, women love that when you seem like you're not listening to their stories. They always love that. Right.
I know. And it was like 1 second later, I clearly hadn't been listening to it.
I think it helps that you guys are in New York also because New York, you always have to, your brain is always has to be on. It seems like.
Yeah. LA is a much more lax.
Yeah. Town.
But
and even during COVID, I was having to do stuff where I just to get my brain going, where I couldn't just sit in front of the TV or on the internet all day long because then when I actually did have interactions, I could feel myself even being, since a stroke, I have to, it's like a muscle I just have to keep using. Otherwise it goes downhill pretty quick.
Wait, are we, so I know we need to wrap this up in a bit, but like, so can I, so you, yeah. Right now I saw on Instagram, you're working on like a new pilot. You can't really talk about the pilot, but is that something you're working on now?
Yeah.
So, okay.
Yeah.
It's called Bullet Train 2.
That's all you can say. Yeah. Can you say what type of show it is or not?
No, okay. I'll tell you when it comes out though, or if it comes out, or if I get hired on it or something like that. It's just a pilot.
How is it? Is it, is it cool?
Yeah, it's great. I mean, I don't know what to say.
Are you doing a lot of, oh yeah. When I was asking about LA, so what is the comedy scene there like now? Is it different? I mean, has it been changed from COVID?
I think it's different for everybody. I mean, there's so many different groups and stuff. It's hard to, I don't know. I think it's good for some people. It's, I don't know, honestly.
Do you get up a lot there, or do you are you on the road a lot still, or
a lot? Yeah, not a lot. I go to Hermosa Beach sometimes, and I go to Flappers because it's right by me. But Hermosa Beach, which I really like, it's not that far, but in traffic, it's almost like a road gig for me because I have to, it takes so long to get down.
Yeah.
Getting home is just like that. But, you know, I guess that's everywhere. I don't know how it's, I don't know that it's, there's a lot more places to get up. It seems like comedy is definitely,
there's less of my outdoor stuff, right? Too in LA. Yeah. They're doing the outdoor thing.
Yeah.
More.
Yeah. I remember Tom and I always talk, we got into comedy. It's like
the worst time.
The worst time, and then when it starts to come back, our race is run already.
Oh no, yeah, it was like, but I think Eric was the same time too.
Yeah,
like, but right when I started, everyone was like, "Oh yeah," like they stopped giving out sitcoms last year.
And
like,
yeah, oh. and now if you're in your early 20s and you have a good 5 minutes and you make some TikToks, you're famous within a fucking 2 weeks. It's crazy. Yes.
I do remember watching when we started doing, getting like a 5 minute spot on something was like, people were like, you don't get those until you're like 8 years in.
Yeah.
They're not going to get. And then like half hours, it was like they were giving them like Louis C.K. got a half hour when I was like 5 years into comedy. And Louis C.K. had been doing comedy like 15 years and was like amazing. So like, we were competing with like Louis C.K. and Greg Giraldo for those were the guys getting half hours. And then something shifted around 2007 where if you were like around for a few years and pretty good, they would just give you a half hour. You know, you didn't have to be known anymore. It was a weird like.
Especially if you were in that alt scene too, I think. That was kind of a thing.
Well, I think it just became like, it was kind of when the alt scene kind of started to die out a little bit. It was more like, it used to be like you need to have been on Comedy Central to get a half hour. Then it was like, oh, have you done anything? All right, here's a half hour, right? I mean, didn't it kind of feel like...
It's almost like if you knew someone that worked there, you could get a half hour.
Then they became... The half hours felt like a four-minute, the equivalent of like getting a four-minute set back when we were like starting. I don't know. It was just a weird... Yeah, and then now it's so different with the internet. That's what I was asking with, like, what is the comedy scene even consist of now? Like, the improv and all, like, who's getting these spots? Is it just people who are established?
There's a lot of famous people in LA, too, so they bump everyone else all the time.
Does it help you, though, that you, like, open for this big, you know, this huge comedian? Does that, like, will that help you?
I don't know. I honestly, I don't, it's something that I haven't really even thought about, all that kind of stuff. I mean, I guess the state of comedy and stuff like that, I think it seems like there's just better people to analyze that than me.
Have you ever talked to like David Spade about that? Like, what does he think about comedy now? Is he like, I mean, obviously it's going great for him and everything, but does he probably even grapples a little bit with being like older and like maybe trying to compete with newer comedians, or does he?
I don't know. I haven't really talked about it.
He's got his audience. I was there.
I did it.
You know, thank you again. When I was on the show with him, I talked to David Spitford. One thing I said, and I think he kind of agreed, is my feeling is that the days of the hour comedy special may be gone because of ADD, you know? And you see, I don't know if you know that guy, Ian Lara. You know Ian Lara? He just did a...
No.
Really funny guy. He just did a special on HBO Max, and it was 38 minutes. And we were saying how great that is, because it's like it was just so tight and whatever. I mean, he could do an hour easy anyway, but it's almost like you don't want to burn all that material. You could have two specials instead of one. And I feel like that because of the audiences with the ADD.
Do you think that
this day and age, a half hour is the new hour? I
just want to plug, I have a new comedy special coming out on Bumble next year. I'm sorry, go ahead. What were you gonna say?
No, when he went to do the special, he said, do you think they signed him for an hour? Or do you think they signed him for a half hour, or they just...
No, he said it was for a limited time. And I think that's just the way I think when you're newer, that's the way they're going. But I feel like in general, I feel like that, I don't know. I just feel like because audiences of ADD were this TikTok generation, it's very hard for them to focus on a comic sometimes for an hour.
I don't know. I don't want to watch comedy for an hour. I mean, I wouldn't want anyone to watch me for an hour. And the other thing is, I don't want to do it for an hour. The other thing is, comedians are different. Not everyone, some comedians can hold someone's attention for an hour. You know, they'll have like a through line or something. Some comedians are really funny, but they're just standing there. So it's like after 20 minutes, it's like, okay, great. Like you're just standing there. That's another clever joke. But so why is everything, not everyone's built the same way. Yeah. So why does everyone have to fit in this? And why is comedy one of the only things in pop culture that won't shorten with the times? Like, why is that staying, you know, constant? Like it has to be an hour. I think there's like a perception of like, if you're not doing an hour, it's not really a comedy show. But
yeah, but I think that's changing. I really do. And I think it's
Have you watched an hour comedy special in the last 4 years, like a whole hour special?
You're talking to me?
Yeah, both of you.
Well, I have, but I skip through it because I can't watch the whole thing.
Oh, I would. I probably have. The big names I watch.
I watch Spades. You know, that was a good one.
I'll watch the big names. Yeah.
Spade is good. And also like comics like him, he'll tell these long bits and stuff, which is good because it keeps you you're following, and all of a sudden the time is just elapsed.
It's tough for a guy that's like one liners.
Yeah. I just watched Lonnie Love's hour. Do you know who that is?
I do. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think she's funny.
I used to see her destroy at the Ice Out, literally go off to standing ovations. Like that's some of the hardest killing I think I've ever seen.
But
I'm just kidding. She just seemed like she's fine. House,
yeah.
No, is that place back open again? The Ice House?
I don't know.
That place is a little bit out of the city. That is one of the fucking greatest places to perform ever. It's such a
really
because it's a little out of the city. And you don't get that LA kind of inside. They're more like excited to be there. No one's too cool for school. And someone told me it was a great place to perform. And then I did it once. People were doing so well. I'm like, if I don't do anything less than murder, I'm going to feel bad about myself. Everyone was killing.
Yeah. I did that place a few times when I lived there. And I remember one time I really didn't do well.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I guess this is that era.
It probably depends on the show.
This was also like 2000. I remember this was before I just started. I had to figure out that like not every joke is going to go over in certain crowds. Like you have to kind of change your material. I went in and I did like jokes about like Billy Elliot, you know, and they were like, what the hell is this shit?
And it was like a gangster crowd there.
I did that once and I did a show.
There's a lot of Mexicans go there. You might not be their type.
I did a show, I think in 2000, it was James Painter was there, this guy that me and Bobby kind of was around. And it was in Long Beach at a bowling alley, which is already just awful. I mean, it just sounds like the worst thing. And I knew it was a bad area because as we were getting there, I started noticing like landmarks from like Snoop Dogg videos. So, you know, where in the video he's like, he's showing his neighbor and he's like in the Crips, you know, and they're all running around chasing him. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to be performing where Snoop Dogg shot his Crip video. And and so I went there and I was like, hey, did you guys see Billy Elliot? And the crowd is just like, what the fuck are you talking about? No, we haven't seen Billy. And it was just, and I remember I did bad and I was like, that crowd sucked. But you know what I mean? You just, you know, I don't know, for me, it took me a while to be like, oh, you can't do that in every crowd. Like, you have to change.
I won't say the comic. Yeah. Years ago, I saw this comic and it was, the whole crowd was full of Puerto Ricans from the Bronx. And he started off his act talking about how he went to Harvard. And I'm like, oof. It just was like, they were like, what the fuck? And he just never got him back.
Yeah, that's rough. All right. Well, we'll wrap this up. Right. I want to thank our guest, Bobby Miyamoto.
Yeah, you have any plugs?
So coming back on. Yeah, are you going on the road again anytime soon or just working on the show?
No, I don't have anything right now. Not really.
You have like any social media?
No, not really. I don't really go on.
You got your MySpace account? Is that still cooking?
People, also, I just want to mention, I just hired Bobby as my publicist. can you get me on social? Did you work on my social media? No, I don't know. Are you coming to New York anytime soon?
I'll let you know. I don't have anything planned, but
let me know because I know you come here now and then.
I'll get us all on a show together. It'll be fun.
Yeah, and that'll be cool for sure.
Okay, cool.
All right, guys.
Thanks for listening. LE2B, rate and review, and we'll see you next time.
Bye. All right, guys.
Okay, thanks, Bobby.